Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, it's great to be with you on this Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And like Kevin said, I got my... You know, it's a special day when I have a suit on. It's a... We apologize to all of you who prefer casual. Next week, we'll be back to casual. I also was about to wear a tie, but my wife said, "Nah, don't wear a tie." So my wife and Ava, they got together, kept us from wearing ties. Sorry, Clay. Just how it works out sometimes. But on this special day, I have a message on the resurrection as we wind up this series. And, you know, there's moments in our life, in all of our lives, when we experience pain, when we experience suffering, when death comes in. Here in Taiwan, we just experienced this past week was a pretty horrendous week with the train crash and all the people who lost their lives there. I know from our congregation here, we had several people who were supposed to be on that train, but for one reason or another, either couldn't get tickets or their trips got canceled. So we're thankful for the mercies of God. But we also, as a church, we want to pray for those who walk through moments of suffering. And today, as we talk about the resurrection, we're going to talk about how God visits us in those moments and what carries us through to the other side. But I want to take a brief moment right now and just pray for all of those who lost lives, who know family or friends who lost lives, and for those in our nation here who are suffering. So let's join us. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the resurrection, the life of Jesus that promises, Lord God, that even through death, there is, Lord God, hope on the other side. And that, Lord God, you carry us through our darkest moments. And Father, today we lift up those who are in pain or suffering, Lord God, those who've lost lives, those who've been injured, those who've lost loved ones. And Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would bring comfort and peace, and that there would be those around them who know you, who would come and minister your love and minister your comfort in this moment. And Father God, may we never, Lord God, forget how fragile life can be, but that, Lord God, you give us a firm foundation to walk through, Lord God, every circumstance in life. And today, Lord God, as we look into your word in these next few minutes, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here. And we invite you to come and to speak to us, that these next few moments would be more than just information or a talk or a lecture, but truly as we open up your word, that your Holy Spirit would speak directly to our hearts, to the circumstances of our lives. And Lord, that it would be a transformative moment for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are, as Kevin shared, we are at the last Sunday of a great series called Building Blocks of Life. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I think we have it on there. It says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so we looked at these building blocks. How do we build our lives upon faith, hope, and love? Honestly, most of the time when we read these scriptures, it's in conjunction with a wedding or some romantic moment. But it was never written with that in mind. It was really written to teach us how to live. And what does it mean to build our lives on faith? Well, faith, as we went over the scriptures, it means to have a trust in the promises of God. We looked at how life cannot function without trust. Simple things like, you know, carrying a bank card, having a contract, crossing the street and trusting that the cars will stop because the light is red. Life functions on the basis of trust, and this is how God intended it. But most of all, God intended us to trust his promises. And then we looked at hope, and we looked at how hope is an expectation of good from God, and that we all need to live with that sense of hope, and how quickly life devolves when we lose hope. And so the power of building a life on hope. And then we talked about love and how the greatest of these is love and the power of love. Last week, Kevin shared an amazing message, a powerful message on how no greater love than the love of God for us. And so today we're winding this up. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. where it says this. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And so today we're going to look at how in the aftermath of the crucifixion, the aftermath of Jesus dying, even his closest followers, the ones that he was depending on to carry on his message and to build his kingdom, they stopped believing in the promises of God. And they abandoned their commitments to following Jesus in that moment. And they lost all hope that things were going to turn for good, that God was going to work things out for good. And how in that moment when faith and hope disappeared from Jesus' closest followers, love in the form of the least likely person, love broke through. Love did not fail. And so the one follower who held on and saw our resurrected Lord and shared that with the others was Mary Magdalene. We're going to look at her life, how Mary Magdalene was really, in many senses, the first Christian. And how God would use a woman like that with a horrible reputation and a somewhat spotty past. But God would use her to really, in some ways, be the foundation stone of the church and the way that the church grew. So we're going to look in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Let's read that. It says here, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen them, they didn't believe her. And so this is Mary. And the Bible says, Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven out, Jesus had cast out seven demons. How would you like to be known as the person from whom Jesus had cast out seven demons? I mean, that's your calling card. You know, hi, I'm Bruce. I had seven demons driven out of me. Like, how many of you have ever seen a demon-possessed person? You know, that's, I know that's kind of a controversial type thing, many of us, I know I've seen people who have been demon-possessed, and you see a lot of them if you ever go to psychiatric wards. In Hawaii, I don't know about here in New York, where I've been spent the last 16 years, we have just a ton of homeless people. And some are homeless because they are out of money. Some are homeless because, you know, they lost a place to live or they're down on their luck, lost their job. But some are homeless because they just are unable to function in society. And whether that's because they have mental problems or spiritual problems, the two are often connected. And I remember when I was pastoring back in Hawaii, the woman who was, and husband and woman who were in charge of ministering to people with deep emotional brokenness, she was on the state board of mental health for the state of Hawaii. But they also would break down for me, and because they're the people who like to study these things, they'd say, you know, we're made spirit, soul, and body. And sometimes people who are emotionally broken, it's a physical thing. They have a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's an emotional thing. They've experienced emotional trauma that has just crushed them. And sometimes it's a spiritual thing. There's no other explanation for it. Chemically, physically, they're okay. Emotionally, they're okay. But they just cannot function. And the root of it is spiritual. And really, when you want to see people come to wholeness, you need to address all three areas in their life. We're made spirit, soul, and body. And our spirit is the part that connects us to God and connects us to that spirit realm amongst us. We always say spirit, soul, and body. Our body connects us to the earthly world around us, the physical world. Our soul connects us to the human world. It's our mind, our will, and emotions. It's what lets us know that my wife is a person and not just, you know, a dog or a rock or something. You know, we have memories together. We have emotions that we share together. I love you, babe. I got to stop so I don't get myself in trouble on that. But here we go. Spirit, soul, and body. And our spirit is what connects us with the spiritual realm. And it's interesting that every civilization that has ever existed on earth has made a place for the supernatural. They've all acknowledged that there's a supernatural, spiritual realm. Because we're created that way. with a whole part of our being that connects with the supernatural. And there's both evil and good in the supernatural. And when the evil takes hold, it breaks us. It broke Mary's life. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons. And so she's the one that God chose to be the first witness. The most unlikely person. No one would trust her. Say, you're that woman. I don't know if she was homeless. I don't know how the seven demons manifested in her life. I don't know if she was just a broken person that was mean and angry and couldn't be with other people. But she was known as seven, from Mary Magdalene, from whom seven disciples had been cast out. And back in that day, a woman was really considered second-class citizen. They couldn't vote. Their testimony was not considered valid in a court of law unless they had other corroborating testimony. There's in so many ways, women would be the last choice to be your mouthpiece for a new religion. But Mary's the one who was chosen, while all the other disciples abandoned Jesus. And so as we look back at those disciples, we want to look at and say, why did they abandon Jesus? Why did they, despite the fact that on at least six different times, Jesus had laid out for them and explained to them what was going to happen. He said, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. And then we're going to rise from the dead. Six times Jesus spoke with them, hung out with them 3.5 years and said, this is how it's going to go down. And yet when it actually happened, all of them abandoned and just said, it's over. Everything Jesus said, it's done. It's finished. His promises, they completely forgot his promises. And you and I, we can do the same thing with the resurrection. Completely abandon the fact of the resurrection, the history of the resurrection. Jesus' disciples had his promises and his teachings and all the miracles that he did to say that, yes, what I'm saying is true. You can believe my promises about the resurrection because here I am. Jesus himself, while he walked the earth, he raised people from the dead. And so they should have been able to trust his promises, but in the moment, they abandoned them. You and I, we have so much evidence for the resurrection. We have the biblical evidence, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think it's in is it in there? Yes, somewhere in there. Do we have, yeah, 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Paul says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And so here's what Paul said. I think, is there one more verse there? Did we get more? There we go. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. And so here Paul says, over 500 people saw Jesus alive. And many of those people, at the time that Paul was writing this letter and that this letter was being circulated, many of those people would have still been alive and could have easily said, oh, that's a lie. Jesus never rose from the dead. None of us saw him. But they all testified that they had seen the risen Jesus. And in fact, not only is the biblical testimony, but extra-biblical, non-Christian historians from that time, non-Christian historians who lived within 50 years of Jesus' death, also wrote about Jesus and his death and his resurrection and how his followers rose up after him. And so when we look at the evidence for the resurrection, and there are books and all kinds of evidence written that we won't take time to go through today, but you can look through all the historical evidence, you can look through the logical evidence of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And yet, why is it that so many of us struggle with believing the resurrection? Why did the same reasons for which Jesus' disciples abandoned him, they're the same reasons that we often find it hard to follow Jesus and believe in him. One of them is greed, or things that we pursue other than Jesus. When you take the first of the disciples to quit following Jesus. Judas Iscariot, he abandoned Jesus for greed. And so many of us, we pursue so many other things other than Jesus. We just think, life is too short. I have too many more important things to go after. And so Judas, the Bible says, because of greed, he abandoned Jesus. The first of the 12. But not the only one of the 12. Because all the rest of them abandoned Jesus as well. And it may have been pain. The pain of seeing Jesus crucified. It may have been fear. The fear of being crucified along with Jesus or persecuted along with Jesus. Many of us, we go away from God when pain comes into our lives. Whether it's relational pain or we suffer trauma in our life, we lose a job, we lose a boyfriend or girlfriend, or a wife or husband cheats on us, or so many different things that bring pain into our lives. And I've seen people abandon Jesus because of pain coming into their lives. Fear. Fear that I'm not going to make it. I've got to put my life into other things other than Jesus. Jesus is not going to come through. This whole religion thing is not going to work out for me. I've got to take care of myself. And that fear can take us away from God and trust in Him. Or just having wrong expectations. Expectations that get unmet. Or wrong perspectives on what life or what Christianity is really about. The Greeks and Jews, they weren't at all expecting a resurrection. For them, leaving this life behind was great because they expected that they would be, for the Romans, in Elysium. You know, and so they were looking for that day when they could leave this life and walk in the fields of gold. And so just that wrong perspective would have them never expecting a resurrection. Why would anybody want to come back to this life? They'd want to go off into the eternal life that they expected. These are some of the same reasons why we miss the resurrection, why we don't trust or believe in the resurrection. But I'll share with you today that when his disciples lost all hope, lost all faith, I want to look today at how did Mary Magdalene hold on to Christ? How did love never fail? 1 Corinthians 13:8 says that love never fails. When faith fails, when hope fails, love will never fail. And we see that in the life of Mary Magdalene. If we look in John chapter 20, verse 11, we're going to look in this moment right after the crucifixion, right after the resurrection. In the dawning moments of that first Sunday morning, it says this, verse 11, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stopped and looked in. So here's what happened. The Bible tells us that after Jesus rose from the dead, Mary and some of the women, I don't know why there's always the women leading the way, it seems like, in faith, you know. Come on, women. And they went to the tomb to go and take care of Jesus' body because they couldn't fully prepare him for burial because of the coming Sabbath. So in Jewish tradition, no work could be done on the Sabbath. Jesus was crucified on a Friday. That's why we call it Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified. The Sabbath, in Jewish tradition, the day begins at sundown. And so the Sabbath began Friday evening. And so as Friday evening approached, they did not have enough time to fully prepare his body for burial. And so they watched when he was buried, and they determined to come back after the Sabbath. And so Sunday morning, they had to wait till Saturday night. And so then Saturday night, they're waiting for sunrise. And as soon, the Bible says, before daybreak, they headed for the tomb. Because they wanted to be there at the first sunrise to begin to prepare his body for burial. But when they got there, they found an empty tomb. And they were shocked. It's interesting because their first reaction wasn't, wow, Jesus' promises are true. He rose from the dead. Their reaction was, somebody stole his body. adding injury to insult. And so what came was just further depression, further grief, that not only had Jesus been crucified, but now that someone had stolen his body. And so they went back to tell the disciples, because as they looked into the tomb, these angels said, his body's gone, he's risen. So they went back to tell the disciples. And the disciples, when they heard it, they didn't believe. They wanted to go see for themselves. So the Bible says that Peter and John, they ran to the tomb. And they also found the tomb empty. And so now they believe the women. Yes, okay. At first, I don't know if they just thought, well, the women got the wrong tomb, or maybe they missed it in the corner or whatever it was. They didn't trust the women for what they said. So they ran to the tomb, look inside. Sure enough, the body wasn't there. And they said, okay, yeah, the body's not there. They still didn't believe that Jesus had raised from the dead. So they had no faith in the promises of God. They had no faith in all that Jesus had told them. All the miracles that he had done, actually raising people from the dead, they still did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead just as he promised. In fact, they continued in their depression. They continued in their grief. No hope. So faith and hope were gone. There was no celebration. So Mary left them and went back alone to the tomb. And this is where John chapter 20 takes place, where Mary's alone at the tomb. And she's crying, she's weeping. Verse 12 says, she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. So even Mary herself, she had no faith in the promises of God. She had no hope that things were going to work out well. She just loved Jesus and wanted to see his broken body, his dead corpse, be taken care of. Verse 14, she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. So even there, we don't know if it was her grief or just the change in Jesus' appearance, but she did not recognize Jesus until he called her name. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go, find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them his message. See, Mary knew what it was like. She knew what it was to be without hope. She knew what it was to be without faith. She knew what it was to walk in sadness and depression, not only from the crucifixion, but from the time when she was possessed by seven demons. She understood the pain of rejection. She knew what it was to be alone and outcast and be broken. But she followed Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, the person who loves most is the one who's forgiven most. And so Mary had this deep passion, this deep love, this deep connection with Jesus because of what Jesus had done for her when she was at the bottom, possessed by seven demons. I have dealt with some demon-possessed people. It is horrendous. It's a horrendous situation to be in because they lose control of themselves. They can't find a way to break through. When the demonic overtakes them, And they see themselves, they understand what's going on with themselves, and they realize how horrible they look to everyone else. And not only do people shun them, but they don't want to be around anyone. And so there's this deep sense of aloneness, this deep sense of hopelessness because they're incapable of helping themselves break out of that situation. And most of them either end up in a psychiatric ward or on the streets or in a morgue. For many times, people, when they have demonic oppression in their lives, they end up addicted to drugs, alcohol, anything that can ease their pain. So we don't know much about Mary's story. But we do know this, that throughout Jesus' ministry, Mary was there. She accompanied him, the Bible says. She and a group of women, wherever Jesus went, they accompanied him. And in fact, the Bible says that they were the ones who supported Jesus financially as he went about his ministry. So much the opposite of Judas, who took, the Bible says, from the monies that came in for himself. Mary was so, her life was so transformed that she became a contributing member of society and had enough to help support Jesus and the disciples. She was there at his crucifixion, the Bible says. She was there when he was buried in the tomb, watching. She was there the first one on Sunday morning after he rose from the dead. Mary just pursued after God because of what Jesus had done in her life. Because of the love that she had for Jesus. And you see, in those moments for us, when we walk through deep hurt, when we walk through deep pain in our life, deep depression, love, understanding the love that Jesus has for us is a thing that will carry us through. An interesting thing about Mary is that every place that she's mentioned in the Bible up until this moment, she's always mentioned with other women. So she was a woman who lived in relationship with other women. And I believe that's one of the keys to living a life based on love that never fails. If you want to build your life on a solid foundation, build your life on a love that never fails. And that's the love that Jesus has for us. And this is the love that that Mary Magdalene built her life upon. And it was that love for Jesus that carried her when she had given up hope, when she did not believe the promises of God. And so in your life, when you hit those moments where it seems like, man, God's not coming through for me, when it seems like there's no hope for things to turn out right, remind yourself of the love of Jesus that took him to the cross. The love of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And recognize that God will come through for you. If God could come through for Jesus after he was crucified, beaten, buried in the ground for 3 days. When you're in the ground for 3 days, buried, dead, then you can tell me Jesus didn't. On day 4, you can say, yeah, Jesus didn't come through for me. But God will come through for you. In these moments, I want to show a video clip just to sort of give us a visual picture of Mary Magdalene and who she was. It's taken from The Chosen, portraying Mary Magdalene.
Give me that.
Portraying Mary Magdalene.
That's not going to solve your problems. Just admit to this fact from
me. Visual picture of Mary Magdalene.
Just put it to me.
She was taken from The Chosen.
Give me that.
Portraying Mary Magdalene.
That.
That's not for you.
Don't touch me.
Lily. Lily. Lily, are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Mary.
Of Magdala.
Ah. Who are you? How do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you. And he who formed you. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Here's what I can tell you. I was one way. And now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. So yes, I will know him for the rest of my life.
God, he resurrects even when the tech goes out. Thank you, tech team. I have tried doing tech myself and have killed a few services that way. But you know, when you think back and you put yourself really in the shoes of Mary Magdalene, a woman possessed by 7 demons, set free, and then who walked through the crucifixion of her Savior, broken, disillusioned, and yet then she discovered that what he had said is true. Our prayer for you today is that you would discover that what the Bible says is true, that the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is present now to help us in whatever we might be walking through. That same power can resurrect the things in our lives that we think are broken and dead and gone, the areas where we've lost hope. I want to close by sharing one last story and one last scripture. I have a picture here of a gentleman by the name of Yuto Matsumoto. Can you show the other picture? Do we have the other one? There we go. There's Yuto, and he's with Pastor Casey, who started this church, and Kevin, when he visited here in Taiwan. And he was part of our church in New York City. He got saved there in New York City. And Yuto, he's an amazing story. His daughter was the first one to come to Christ when she was 13 years old. We can go to the next picture, which is that's her daughter's wedding there in the middle. She was 13 years old when she came to Christ. And I remember going to Japan, and I was actually leading a prayer meeting. And she walked in with her mom. And her mom had just heard the gospel with another friend of hers, had shared with her. And they came to the prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, she responded to an altar call and gave her life to Christ completely. What is an amazing moment. Now, at that moment, her mom and Yuto were divorced. They had ended their marriage, and Yuto was living in New York, just living single life, girlfriends, all that. You know, he's a very accomplished executive. He's now the president of a multinational chemical company in Japan, and she was back in Japan. Their lives are completely separate, but she came to Christ at a prayer meeting, and then that same year, Yuto came and watched a movie actually with the church. His daughter invited him to watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, showing Jesus' death and resurrection. And at that moment, he was so moved that he gave his life to Christ. He began to seek out who is this Jesus who would give his life in that way. And I remember we were at a conference in LA. He came, and it was there that he completely gave his life to Christ, was baptized, came out of the water, saw doves flying over. He was just overcome by saying, when Jesus was baptized, doves came, and now Jesus is at my baptism, and completely turned his life over to Christ. 11 years after they divorced, I remember going to Japan and sitting with his wife, his ex-wife, and sharing with her that Yuto had come to Christ, and she was so angry. She just got so mad at me. She said, there is no way he cannot be a Christian. He's a horrible person. You don't understand how horrible he is. Cheated on me. He said, he cannot be a Christian. I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to hear that he's a Christian. But the love of God began to just chip away and chip away. And what seemed a hopeless situation, 11 years later, they renewed their vows and got remarried. And it's so amazing now, both his daughter and his son, followers of Jesus, found, you know, amazing spouses. And God, so that resurrecting power is still at work today. And that's not the only couple that I personally know that have been divorced before they became Christians, became Christians separately, and came back together again. God is in the resurrecting business. And it's love that will carry you there. And my prayer is that today you would understand the greatness of the love of God that drove Mary Magdalene, that led her to be the first, really the first Christian. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, if we confess, if we openly declare that Jesus is the Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And Mary Magdalene was the very first person to confess that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he was Lord. And so Mary Magdalene, a woman from whom seven demons had been cast out, she was the first Christian. And in many ways, we follow in her footsteps. And so I just want to invite you this morning just to bow your heads. I'd love to pray with you. Father, today as we gather on this Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, we think back to Mary Magdalene, the first of your followers to truly understand and experience the power of the resurrection, the first of your followers to see you as the risen Lord. And Father, my prayer is that, Lord, just as love drove her to follow you when all else failed, when the promises seemed broken, when all hope was gone, her love for you, your remembering your love for her, drove her to pursue you. God, I pray that your love for us would lead us to pursue you as well. And in this moment, Lord God, we come to you and say, Lord, we believe in the resurrection and help our unbelief. And Father, help us to make you truly Lord of our lives, that we would be those who live with the power of the resurrected Christ functioning in our lives to restore what we think is hopelessly broken. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.